Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak Adventures.
Brother, this is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host,
Brad. Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Happy you here with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Reel Down on Paddle and Fin. Appreciate you listening, as always. With me is the co-host. Jimmy Skinner, what's up, man?
What's going on, dude? How you doing?
Good, man. Doing good. We had a little guys, me and my son, weekend last weekend. So the wife's back from the beach. I'm ready to go knock some heads in this weekend, go catch some fish. So I haven't been fishing in like a month. It's been a month. I've been off the water doing house stuff and family stuff and everything. And now I signed up for the Bucks Island monthly just for fun, and I'm ready to kill them this weekend for like the next few weeks. Hopefully every weekend of October I'll be fishing. So
I definitely want to get on the water in October, because I'm going to be busy. We've got end of the month, we're going to Grand Isle for redfish, so that's going to be wicked,
man. That's like Grand Isle is so awesome.
They somebody posted a picture down there from Grand Isle Marina, I think yesterday, and I've never seen so many redfish so big, like absolute freaks. Then we've got the Alabama State Championship, Kayak Fishing State Championship. So I'm not going to get to fish that weekend. I may get to fish a day before, something like that, or may go fish shoal bass.
Because you're running it, you're the TD for it.
Yeah, took over tournament director for the state championship. I've got all sorts of here. I'll show you just a quick plug, because they're one of my sponsors and they really stepped up. Thank Dobbins Rods for stepping up to sponsor this tournament. They couldn't do any donating rods, but all of these, for anybody looking, those are all 40% off rod coupons and certificates for everybody that participates in the state championship. So big shout out to them. But been getting in all the sponsor stuff, trying to get all the prizes in, get the last few things squared away, but it's going to be a good time. And then I was debating on fishing that Pickwick Bassmaster event coming up. So I've spent the last two weekends completely on Pickwick, and I'm not going to fish that tournament. we were there this weekend with the MLF BFLs were there, and I mean, day one, you had like three guys that really caught them, and then everybody else. Like day one, it only took, on the boater side, it took 9 pounds to get in the cut, and in the co-angler, it took 5.
I heard it was tough right now.
We would have had, I think Saturday, we would have got in the cut on the co-angler side, me and the guy that were out there. And then I went back Sunday and fished my strengths instead and went up a creek and found current, and I think I caught, on the light end, I caught 12 pounds, which a kid went out there and caught 19, pitching jigs around brush. But I learned a lot, like, especially listening to the weigh-in. I mean, they were still on ledges, or you were fishing the tail race. That was it. Like, it was pick one of those two poisons. So,
yeah. Wow.
But it was fun.
Somebody will catch them out on Pickwick, but
I think by the time the kayak tournament hits, the fall pattern will. We need like two good weeks of cool weather, and a lot of those anglers out there that were doing good are from Florence, so like that's their lake, and they were saying the same thing, that they need two solid weeks of cool weather for them to swap off the ledges. So we'll see. Right. I still don't think I'm gonna fish it though.
Now we've got our Southern Championship for the KFL that weekend. I'm fishing, and so I'm practicing up for that. So hopefully we win that next week, you know, we're going against the Virginia Reapers that are coming here. That'll be difficult. And then at the end of the month, it's Chickamauga. So if we do win next weekend, then I'll be fishing Chick from here on out, just practicing up. As long as there's off limits, I haven't checked, but we'll see. And we did have somebody made an announcement this week. KBF, they came out with their schedule. I'll share it here. If you happen to be watching, Edge tab.
I'm curious to see it. I didn't watch the podcast to hear the first few that he announced.
There it is. The first one is January 28th, 29th, Polk County, Florida. Let me see where it's at. I don't even know where it's at.
Is that not where the Kissimmee chain is?
Yeah, I think it's the same place they had it last year.
Yeah.
County, Florida. Google knows. Yeah, Kissimmee. So there you go. I think they just have a different sponsor where it's the city, the county is doing it rather than
like the city of Kissimmee. Yeah.
February 25th, 26th, Lake Murray, South Carolina. April, and then they go all the way out west to Lake Havasu, April 1st and 2nd. St. Clair, April 15th through the 16th, which is super early for St. Clair. But
I should say that's like they might have just thawed out by then.
Yeah, way pre-spawn. Grand Lake, and that's the event where they, I guess, are getting some kind of, they're not going to make them stick real close to the bank that time in this event, and they're going to try it out where kayaks can cross a lake or cross big creeks. They don't have to be 100 feet or yards to the bank, whatever kind of messed up rule Grand Lake has had. Plus, I know he said on the podcast that they're going to have a second body of water that'll be open as well, where you definitely don't have to worry about it. Potomac River, April 29th and 30th. Lake George, it's up in New York, May 21st, 22nd. Chickamauga, June 10th and 11th, and that's right whenever they get offshore. So that will definitely, whenever they're still a little bit stupid, you know, they like late May, early June, they're still catchable. You know, they still haven't been pounded all year offshore. So great time to fish Chickamauga. And then California Delta, June 24th and 25th, and that's it. They stop in June, and then Wheeler, I think they said already, is going to be where the KBF National Championship Gathering, Open, whatever you want to call it, is going to be. And these dates, it says at the bottom, if you're listening, unofficial, the final dates will be set November 1st, so it's probably super close, but just watch those. They might change a little bit, but yeah, good schedule. It's kind of all, you know, they're definitely going all over the place. It's definitely spread out for sure.
Yeah. Curious to see how the year treats them.
Yeah. Yeah. Should be good.
Well, what we got for today?
Yeah. Here, let me get out of here. Stop sharing. There we go. Well, today we have the first and second place from the Bronzeback Classic up in Clearwater, Minnesota. Excuse me. And we have, let me bring them on here. Scott Stuhlman and Shenang Yang. What's up, guys?
How's it going?
Hey.
Appreciate y'all being on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, first we'll do intros. I know, Scott, you've been on here before, but tell everybody who you are, man.
Yeah, I'm Scott Stuhlman. I grew up in the South, you know, Louisiana, Texas, and I moved up to Minnesota. I started fishing, really, and Got a kayak and started fishing and just haven't looked back. It's been go, 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 go. And then, you know, after, you know, we had a couple of good national finishes with some guys in Minnesota. I got a group of guys together and we started a in-state, you know, a little more competitive, higher end tournament run group. And it's been going pretty good. Second year, we're growing. So it's Minyak, pushing, you know, really allowing guys to promote themselves, drop their videos, you know, pushing guys to try to travel nationally and get to some of these national tournaments. There's guys that I think would do really good nationally. You just got to get them, you know, get them out there, get them on the road.
Yeah, yeah, y'all are really fortunate in Minnesota with a lot of different grass lake, grass and clear water. Yeah, I mean, yeah, y'all are super diverse there.
Yeah, I mean, we have a, you know, very short fishing year, you know, mid-May till maybe mid-November if we're lucky. And except for you can get some of those power plant outputs, you could get over there and fish them. It's hard to get in a kayak and get out there, but a discharge of some of those power plants stays flowing pretty good, and the smallmouth will stack in there. But yeah, it's a condensed year, but the great part is that the whole summer it's never so hot that you just really can't fish. This is one of the hottest summers we've had in a while. We had a few days that we were floating a river. I think when Chad Hoover was up here, we floated a river and it was about 94, 95 that day. It was pretty hot days.
You can handle it though. You're from the South.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, you lose it a little bit when you're up here, but when I go back down to Texas for work, after about a week, I get used to the heat. I just don't get used to the traffic and the, you know, not nice drivers.
Yeah. How about you, man?
Yeah, my name is Shanang. Just started fishing during the pandemic in 2020. My brother have been fishing for the last few years, and then, you know, needed to pick up a sport, do something while social distancing and whatnot. So got into the kayak, went out, started fishing locally with just some angler friends, did some small pickup tournaments, and then Slay Nation came up to Minnesota Kayak Trail Series. That was the first trail series I jumped into. I think it was a 2021 last year. And then I actually got Angler of the Year last year for that trail series.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it was crazy. I felt like I just picked the sport really well. Listened to a bunch of podcasts, a bunch of people on Paddle and Fin, listened to YouTubers, just watching kayak, just soaking all in from that the 2020 to 21 winter, and then got ready and then just went and really did slay. So, and then this year kind of pulled back a little bit, went back to school, but then still able to go out to do some Minnesota local clubs, MNKFA, and then did any pickup tournaments I could do. So really, really enjoying it. It's like, you know, fishing is life, you know. You can't,
thank you.
I translate it all, fishing techniques and just what you learn and, you know, what you grow from it into real life. It's just so relatable.
It's funny. Shout out to Frankie with Slay Nation. I don't know if anybody across the country has done more to grow our sport than him with small little grassroots trails. And I mean, you know, you're a great example of what his organization has done getting people into a sport. So man, I'm glad you're a part of it. That's awesome.
I mean, I'm glad you mentioned listening to us. That makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Woo!
I think if you're not a kayak best or a kayak angler, it's hard not to listen to you guys. So.
Yeah, well, we have some. It's all quantity and not quality. So we have so many shows.
Yeah. You never know what you're gonna get out of it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Here, so one of y'all that this event was on the Mississippi River. I'll go over it here. 48 anglers, 209 fish were caught. It's a 4-fish limit, which we were talking about beforehand. I love 4-fish limit for more not national trails. I think that's such a great number. Scott, you won it with 77.5, anchored by a 20.25-inch smallmouth. Shanang, you had 77 inches, so just half inch behind, not much. 19.75 was your big. Could you only measure smallmouth? Is that what it was?
Yeah, bronzeback.
Okay.
Only smallmouth.
Yeah. In fact, my buddy caught a couple of largemouth and couldn't
see. That'd be the day I caught like 3 10s. You know, I'd have 3 24-inch bass that absolutely meant nothing anymore.
Yeah. And then Michael Krutzig, who was going to be on here, he couldn't make it, but he had 75.5. So yeah, a lot of limits. It looks like limits went all the way down to 35. So,
and they were like, if you look back, man, like, all the way down to, we'll say 30th, caught at least a 17 and a half inch. There's so many 18s and 19s, though. Damn. Like, tons of good smallies. Like, this would be one that I would travel for. Like, something we'll touch on a little bit too. It did have some really good prizes.
It's a great stretch.
Yeah.
It's slightly different than if you're fishing something like the Susky, because the Susky has so much shallow water. And if the water's down just a little bit, like, you're dragging, you're dodging boulders, or they have to authorize everybody to wade fish, and then everybody's out of their kayaks the whole tournament anyway. But this place, like, there's always, some water channels running pretty good. It's got some pretty heavy flow through there. So,
hell yeah, I need to make this one. So, yeah. Is this like an annual thing? Yeah.
It has been, they came off from COVID and backed out of it after 2019. So this is the first year tournament back since COVID. They started up. Normally they have it twice a year, actually. They have one in August, first week of August, and the last week of September. And they've timed that. I'll give you this. They know that river. Those two times are phenomenal bite times. They got that crazy summer smallmouth bite where the smallmouth are just hitting. Like, you could throw a 2x4 in the water and a smallmouth will bite it. And then that, catch that right at the transition of fall, that late September. Like, it might have been about a week early this year, but it was close, because like the next 2 days after that, it's been cold. So the water temperature's been screaming down.
Huh. So can you kind of tell us more about the water? Like how much water is it? Is it all kind of current that you're looking for, or?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Mississippi in most places. It's a tannic water. So it's got a kind of, reddish iron stain to it. There's a lot of iron in the water up here, the mining and everything else. So not as dark as some of the other rivers in Minnesota, but it's definitely got a pretty good little tannic stain to it. When it's cleared up, it's dark, but clear, and you can see pretty good. And, like every fishing, smallmouth fishery, you got trees in the water, you're fishing laydowns, back of laydowns, anywhere there's a break in the current seams on the edge of rocks, big eddies behind islands, 2 inches from the shoreline, where like two twigs hanging over the top of it for them to get some shade or protection from the birds. Like, they'll sit, 2 inches from the shoreline. Yeah.
And there's also some deep holes too, that there's holes where it just drops down from like 1 to 2 feet into like 7-8 feet. And that's where they're just hanging out. Behind big boat, and there's boulders, there's deeper boulders that are down there as well. And, there's just a lot of bayfish, panfish that are just hanging out there with the smallies, a bunch of carp roaming around. Can't tell you, they run in schools too. And I know my brother runs LiveScope, and he just sees, he sees these blobs, and it's kind of hard what's what, but they're all there.
And a lot of the rivers up here also have red horse. It's in like the sucker family. So they kind of got a red tail, and you see a lot of them that are 18, 19, 20 inches, and then you get in some of the rivers up here and you can find these giant ones. And they can have their days when they're just super fun to catch. One of my buddies fishes, and sometimes he'll just spend one day on them whenever he's fishing the rivers, just because it's fun.
So did y'all practice a bunch, or are y'all from right there? Can you kind of talk about your practice?
I'm about 2.5 hours from there. And I've been spending a lot of time on rivers this year. I have a buddy, Colin, who has a YouTube channel. He does a lot of river fishing, a lot of you know, showing people how to target smallmouth and stuff on rivers. And we've been spending a lot of time fishing rivers in Minnesota and Wisconsin. He goes with me. We do the Susky every year. And he does a lot more river. Like, he does it a lot more than I do, because I travel the kind of tournament circuit a little bit more. But yeah, it's been a real big focus this year. And of course, for me, you know, the upper Mississippi is the closest place that's got quality, consistent quality smallmouth. I can find a few here and there. I can get in the rivers and catch one or two in a lot of places. But the Mississippi River is just, you know, and then that stretch is really good. For me, because I fish a lot by myself, I either have to pay to shuttle, which there's a really good shuttle. The people that put on the tournament Clearwater Outfitting, they do a really good job. They have shuttling service, and you can do that. That's perfectly fine. You know, it's not necessarily the best option if you're trying to drop in at sunrise and leave at sunset. You know, it's 16 hours of fishing in the summer up here during the days, and I promise you I will be out there for all 16 of them most of the time.
I can get behind that.
To my wife's dismay, she doesn't care for that very much sometimes. But yeah, so, you know, I go up about every, I was going up about every three or four weeks, I'd go up. And because I was by myself, I kind of started to do, I went down to one of the launches and was doing in and outs. And I found early in the summer, I found the fish, they were spread out everywhere, but they were in classic smallie spots, you know, near laydowns, thrown behind laydowns, up near the shore. But I was catching in behind boulders and in eddies and everything else. And I was catching some big fish. So every couple of weeks, you know, I kind of go back and the water would be a foot, 6 inches to a foot lower because the water is constantly coming down, coming down, coming down, coming down. And so I was just constantly, every 3 weeks or so, I'd go see where they were at and try to get on a pattern on them. And then last week, Slay Nation had their final, their championship, and they opened it up to the public. So you didn't have to be a member. They allowed everybody to pay an extra fee and compete in it. I thought it'd be a good practice run. So I decided to do that and won that one. So it was a good practice run, and it kind of
foreshadowing
kind of gave me the first, you know, a week ahead of time, it told me kind of where the fish were at. And they were kind of in the same pattern that they were when I fished, you know, probably 2 weeks before that. So kind of they moved, yeah, but it was the same pattern. So
gotcha. Shanang, how about you, man?
Yeah, I'm from the metro area, so I'm a little bit like 10 minutes out from St. Paul. But yeah, it's about an hour for me, like 50 minutes if I drive fast enough. But yeah, it's going up there. I go, you know, once I figured that, like my first year fishing, friend Elvis, he's been on here. He took me up there. We went out and it was great.
I like that guy.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good guy. So he took me out, got on some good fish. Ever since then, we've been going out early little after fish, bass opener, and then went out, you know, once or twice in the summer, and then we'll go out consistently, probably once the water temperature up here drops into, you know, the low 60s, mid 60s, low 60s, and as it drops until like November. So I will go a few times. I know the Clearwater, the Snuffy Landing pretty well. I don't know where they'll be stacked at. You know, they change a little bit, just like what Scott says, but usually they're in the general area. You know, the eddies, you know, really shallow, in those deep holes when they're stacking and just feeding. But, you know, it's just, you can't get enough. I mean, the other closest, if you either go to St. Croix, or else you go all the way to Lax, you know, La Crosse.
Yeah.
The other places too, but those are, I mean, St. Croix is on the other side of the state going towards Wisconsin. And then La Crosse is a little 2 hours, 2 and 3 hours away from the city. So, I mean, going to Clearwater, that's perfect distance. It's not too far, not too bad. And usually I go with somebody. I haven't used a shuttle yet, but was fortunate enough to go with somebody or have someone pick me up. And then, you know, I get to spend from sunrise, which, you know, you don't want to start too early because, you know, you lose a lot. Sunrise don't start until like 7 or 8 going at the end of the year. And then you have to leave by 4 before dark. So, you know, that's 8 to 10 hours right there, which is perfect.
Yeah. So not to get sidetracked, but how is Minneapolis? Is it okay now? I mean, is it safe to go there again?
It's safe. It's good. I think it's just, you know, it's still around. It's still where, you know, everybody's aware what's going on. But yeah, this last summer too was a little hectic with everything going on as well. But I mean, from the last few years, I think it's kind of cooled down. But you know, it's still in the air.
Yeah, my dad's from there originally. He lived there until he was 17. But yeah,
you know, talking about the fishing, like, I don't think a lot of people realize just how good the fishing is in Minnesota. Like, a lot of people have never heard of Mille Lacs, and I feel like the MLF event this year kind of helped spotlight that lake a little bit.
Did you see how many 6-pounders they dropped? There's like,
hey, Dustin Connell is my guy, and his ability that he was like, I think when I went back, he was averaging a 4-pounder. Like, yeah, he caught 85 pounds on the final day or something like that. Like, what? Like,
it was fun to watch. It was really fun to watch.
Oh, it was like we watched it and I was just like blown. Like, I kept thinking, I was like, okay,
like that barrage at the last 2 hours of that day when they were jumping.
Oh,
like, he thought he had it locked, and then all of a sudden,
I can't remember that guy. I was like Mike something or another, but yeah, dude went on a flurry at the end and he only lost by 4 ounces. And Dustin's like, oh, he's got me. My bite died. He's got me. And he just outlasted him. But I just kept thinking the schools were just going to shut off after that entire week of them beating on them. And it didn't. They just move on to another school and start whacking them again. I was like, what? Yeah, and we've got some.
There's a lot of lakes like that here. You
keep
know,
them close to your chest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's 10,000 lakes in Minnesota. There's a lot of, there's different types of lakes in Minnesota. You got to remember. So, you know, there's glacial lakes, and then there's kind of like some that are born out of the rivers, or that are just kind of like, you know, natural. There's a few man-made lakes, but not a ton of man-made lakes. But there's some glacial lakes that are, you know, super, super deep. And then there's those ones that are like they don't get deeper than 25 feet, and they got rock and boulders everywhere, and those kinds of lakes like that here, there's a bunch of them around, and they are just smally factories. They produce the fattest, this big old fat smallies. Mm. And it's different than river smallies. Those river smallies can get big, but they're long and lean and meaty, you know, muscular.
Yeah.
And then you get on those lake ones and you get a freaking 16 incher that's 4 pounds, and you're like, geez.
Yeah, there were a lot of those caught that they were pulling up that I was like, well, that's a tiny like length fish, and then it'd be like 3 pounds 2 ounces. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that's half the reason we wanted to have the show. Whenever we saw a Bronzeback Classic, is like, let's talk smallmouth. All right. Yeah. So, Shenang, go ahead and tell us about your tournament day, man.
Yeah, it was, you know, got a shout out to a friend of mine, Jester. He helped out in the beginning too. He did Slay Nation the week before for the Angler of the Year Championship, and kind of helped me out there. So appreciate that. But yeah, started out with some spots early, close to the Clearwater shuttle, or yeah, the launch. And then caught a 19 and a quarter there, chatterbait. You know, that guy hit it hard. And, you know, the sun was just rising too. So I was just like, it was maybe my 5th or 6th cast, just boom. So that was a good confident boost right there, that 19 and a quarter. Kept going, hit this other spot, you know, and all I did was junk fish. I was throwing spinner, chatterbait. I was throwing topwater, the buzzbait. I had a Ned rig on, I had a drop shot on. So it just junk fishing to the best.
So two questions real quick on that, just because we're talking river smallie fishing. What's your like go-to for chatterbaits in the rivers? And are you, you know, throwing it in the heavy current areas, you know, for, I would assume that's what you're doing, but like what chatterbait is your like money for a river smallmouth?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it has to be the jackhammer. This year I tried the big blade too, cause it looks like it's hunting a little more, you know, more water, but that jackhammer just bumping so much in the water. It gets their attention. And then I was using a gambler, the smaller version of the gambler swim vibe bait. So that hits a lot too. The paddle is just so thick in the tail. So I really enjoyed that. So that, and then I'm throwing in the seams where the river, it's a slight eddy, but it goes into a little pool where they're just sitting there. So that's where I'm hitting all the jackhammer, the chatterbait.
But you just try to keep it natural colored, nothing crazy.
Yep, I like the chartreuse. I think chartreuse in this general area is what the smallies love. I've always had luck with chartreuse, darker colors like black and blue or just a natural green. Haven't had too luck with white. So that's what I used for this chatterbait bite.
That's what the only one I've ever had any smallmouth bites on. Once in the river and once in the lake was a white and chartreuse. So it's kind of crazy. It's a little, little different, but they did have the chartreuse. Yeah. And my second question was drop shot in the river. Where are you throwing that? Like, I know I don't carry, I know they make heavier shots and power shots and all that stuff that I don't dabble with, but what are you doing with a drop shot in a river?
So I'm throwing that drop shot where those drops are, where those holes are, letting it sit all the way to the bottom or just finding where the drop is, the slope is, and then just going. I would even just pull out of the river a little bit, sit outside, one leg in, one leg out, just kind of slowly, you know, slowly making that come up from the slope, the drop shot. And I use either the, what's been hitting for me is there's the other Z-Man, the tail, that one we hit where there's the black and the chartreuse color, it's like a leech looking profile. So I would use that. I use the Zoom. They don't have it a lot of places in Minnesota, but it's the Zoom. It's not the Finesse Worm, but it's like the Z. It has a little tail. It looks like I can't remember the name, but it's not the one that everyone gets. It's a little different one. The tail, it kind of waves. So it kind of floats a little bit and then waves up too. But it's a Zoom brand. So I use those two just to try and get a bigger profile.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm definitely going to have to try that. We've got some pretty decent smallmouth river spots down here in Alabama, and I've never, ever once thought about throwing a drop shot in the river. So I'm going to have to give that a try.
If there's current, it kind of...
Right.
Yep. It works in itself, too.
Yeah, it's like my whole thought for not throwing it is like I throw a lot of Texas rigs.
Yep.
And stuff in the creek. So it's like you got to get that weight right so that it can either play in the current or stop, or else it just blows downstream. Yeah. In my head, I'm usually fishing a drop shot on such light stuff. I think it would just, you know, blow out. But
yeah, I'll fish that super heavy drop shot down there on the Tennessee River, especially when you get around those spotted bass. Yeah, that thing is money around the spotted bass. You just got to get it heavy enough to get down. And then
that's one thing, man, around here.
Either throw it up and let it come down with the current, or I put a little bit more weight on it and throw it downstream and kind of bring it up. And then good thing about that is if it kind of gets stuck, you just kind of pop drift it a little bit, let the current push it back off of whatever it got stuck on. You can bring it back up. So yeah, sometimes I'd have a drop shot weight with a tungsten weight sitting on top of it on the line.
See, I was just about to say that a problem around a lot of tackle shops around here, cause I try to shop tackle shops as much as possible, you know, support them. I don't think I've ever made a tackle warehouse order. I usually just go to a shop.
I'm a visceral shopper in general. I like to see it, put my hands on it,
yeah,
look at it.
None of the shops around here carry heavy drop shot gear. I've looked ever since I first saw a power shot video. I was like, oh, hell yeah, I want to try that. Nobody around here carries like 1 ounce tungsten teardrops or anything like that.
No,
you know what they got? I bought some. I think I got them on either at Omnia or I think I got them at Omnia. It's a drop shot. It's a drop shot wire. And it has the drop shot hook on the top, the normal clasps that'll hold on when you tie the knot.
It'll hold,
right? But it's a wire, and you can put whatever tungsten weights you want on it, bend the wire like you would
like a Tokyo rig,
and then clip it onto your thing, and then clip the rest of the wire off.
I got
some of those. I haven't used them yet, but the great thing about that is that you can customize your weights. Just like you could a Tokyo rig, you can make the weight exactly what you want, you know, and you can keep.
I'll write that down.
You can put a lot of weight with a thin profile because you stack them versus, you know, like having to have one of those super giant 3/4 weights. You know, I mean, in general, I like to use a lot of teardrop weights the way I fish. I tend to get those stuck less in general.
Same. I don't carry any other kind. I just carry the teardrop. Not that I'm the biggest drop shotter, but
yeah, I've gotten to where I'm using the cylinders in a lot of places too.
There's that too.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll make a note on this too. There's a local guy up in Minnesota, the Midwest area, Terry Ellis. He has tungsten weights where he sells, and it's really affordable. I would say it's the most affordable out there. And he ships them locally all over, Terry Ellis tungstens. And I get all my drop shot weights. I actually caught my second smallmouth, the 19.5 on one of their jigs, small profile, all tungsten, very good hand tied, tungs or jigs. He does swim bass too, so you know that guy.
He's gonna be shipping a package down here soon.
I
like small tungsten jigs.
Yep, very, very good. And he has the no chip with the warm way, the warm tungsten Texas rig. You know, the warm jigs, and then also he does Ned rigs as well. So he does a little bit of everything.
Yeah, really y'all ever throw a free rig? Is that something?
Yep. I've thrown it
a couple times, and I think a free rig,
like a drop shot weight, but in the middle of a line somewhere.
Yeah, so it's a drop shot, but open cylinder.
Open cylinder.
So it goes up and down freely, while when the bait's coming back, it kind of goes a little slow.
So it's like a backwards rigged Carolina rig, instead of like rod, line, weight bead, hook. It's backwards.
Yep, it's like it's basically like a Texas rig with no bobber stopper. That's how it is. Yeah. So and that, you know, another friend of ours this year, Danny. Yep, Danny Lee. He did really well on that. He did really well on that over in La Crosse. I forget which tournament this was, where he took first up there too, I believe. So, you know, he did really well with the free rig, and I would fish that sometimes too. Got a few good bites.
I've got that really, 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 really heavy weight on wing dams and on lacrosse. When the height over the water over the wing dam is perfect, those smallmouth stack in there, you could throw a tube on the back of that. And it's almost like a Carolina rig where that weight will drop it down, but that thing will kind of still free float a little bit.
Man, to hell with Alabama. I'm moving up there.
It seems like a free rig would be great for a river in those kind of situations. But couple of times I've thrown it, like I bought the OSP, the Do Live thing out. Like and that stuff stinks, man. Them Japanese guys, they put some stank on their baits, but I haven't really had any luck with it. Like I know it works. I see why it would work. I see the application. I'm sure I just need to go out there one day and just throw a free rig all day. You know.
Yeah, it's just an alternative to the Texas rig, right? Yeah. Or a drop shot, right?
Sometimes you're really pressured fisher, man. You just have to change the way it's presented just a little bit. And sometimes they're like, yeah, I'm not used to that.
Well, hell, that's different.
Yeah, just the fall rate, just changing that could be enough to.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Well, go ahead and finish your day up. So
yeah, so second fish caught the 19 and a quarter on a jig, where there's like, I believe there's the river that just kind of flowing, hitting the slope again, where I was sitting at 4 or 5 feet, dropped to 6, 7, 8 feet, big boaters. But the thing was, there's a lot of carp. So I think there wasn't a lot of smallies there, kind of scared them. They're jumping every like 1 to 5 minutes, but I caught my big one there with a jig, from Terry Ellis's tungsten jigs. And that was with a more natural color, with a little bluegill color, kind of natural green pumpkin. Kept going, used the spinner a lot. I used more of a finesse, but I wasn't really getting any strikes or bites at all. So I used a little big profile. I went with the Depths B Custom. And with the color I got, I wish I had it. I actually got bit off by a pike. It's like a pink, it was 1/2 ounce, pink head, white body. And then the blades were, they're like that. They're not silver there, but they're not gold. They're the in between. I forget the color, like a pink brown, like a bronze color.
Hmm.
And I was throwing that, was killing it. That's where I caught, my other 19 on as well. So, or my 18 and 3/4. So, and I was just throwing that really shallow, just hitting little laydowns and things like that. Maybe like 2 feet of water. They're probably sunbathing from what they got from the sun. The water temp was about 61 for most of the day, 63 at highest, I believe, at some places. And then kept going, tried to hit this hole, deep hole, deep drop goes, you know, it went to down to 15. Didn't get anything there. I usually get one or two, and then I usually get one at this one point. I usually get it all the time with the net rig. So I put my net rig, and what I do is I use the black and blue net rig, and then I tie the it's the attachment of the blade where you can put in the back. So yeah, it has some flare to it, some shine to it. Just threw it on and I throw really light with my net rig on the river. I throw 1/15. That's what I threw.
Fine pearl. That is a way. It's got rose gold blades on it. That is wicked.
Beautiful. I'm so sad when I lost it too. So definitely gotta go get it back. And I bought it from Hookup Tackle, and they're located in Arizona. So
yeah, oh yeah, they got all that cool stuff.
They got all the JDM.
Yeah.
So I like to keep up with them too, but. Yeah, I caught my 18.
Time. That's a freaking expensive spinner bait, brother. I would have went after that pike.
It really is, but I mean, every time, even like the smallies, they bite so hard, they bend it outwards. I was still able to bend it back, even better. It never was out of line. It always was like I caught 17s that same day. I caught 16s and they're just killing it and bending it, you know, and I was always able to put it back. So I had no, like, I think that by far the best spinner I've used so far. And I bought a bunch this summer too to use. But then, you know, usually from where I fish is only 8 mile stretch from CWO to Snuffy's Landing. And then I decided at 1 o'clock that I'm gonna go further down because I was free shadowing. So I ended up going another 6 miles to get to where the power plant was. And I knew it was just a lot of dead water going until I found some big eddies. I've only been on that stretch. And then it went from Snuffy's Landing to Montecipi, saw some big boaters. Ended up I knew I needed to get something big. And that's when I caught my 19 3/4 through a big swim bait. It was the bigger gambler. So 5.5. Just natural green on a weighted Texas rig EWG hook, threw that in between an eddy and a branch, boom. That thing just destroyed it. So big. I thought it was a 20. I was so happy, but
yeah, what he didn't tell me is that he passed me And he said, I need a 20 to catch you. And then I was watching the leaderboard and saw that he called at 20 minutes left.
20 minutes left.
But he was just that much short when he did it.
20 minutes left, and I just kept going and going and trying to hit it. And so by that time, I had the eight. I called the 18 with the 19 and the 3/4, which is crazy to think about because I was at third because I got pushed back to third by Michael, I believe. Yeah. I got pushed back to third by Michael, and then I was like, and he only had half an inch on me too. So once I caught that 19 3/4, boom, it made me jump back to second. And I was like, all right, I'm only halfway, half an inch away from Scott. So I just need to get another 19 and a quarter to actually take first. But, you know, it's so hard when you're doing four fish, you know, with 10, 15 minutes left, you know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was my day. It was probably the best day, even with my 18s, you know, that lands you up to like 95 inches, I believe. That's why I would have ended it with.
Of all smallies.
Which is crazy. Yeah, all smallies. Just crazy.
Yeah, I think I would have ended up with 95 and a half.
Yep. Right. So.
Which is weird because that's what I got on Slay the week before too.
Right.
So. Fish in a barrel. Colin, I was kidding.
How about you, man?
Well, my day was pretty easy because like I caught all my fish in one spot. All of them.
Dang.
Crazy.
I caught another fish. When we launched, there was some confusion about some rules and everything else. We weren't really clear that you could launch. In the past, if you were self-shuttling, you couldn't launch until 7:15 because that's when the first wave launched. But they said, hey, if you're self-shuttling, you can launch whenever. You just can't lines in until 7:15. So that was kind of a change that they weren't super, super clear about. So once I found that out, I was planning to try to, you know, push out 7:15. So now then I'm rushing because there's three guys pushing away from the shore at 6:45. And I'm like, oh my God, these guys are going to jump on my spot. Right. And so like, I'm hurrying, I'm rushing. I finally get on the water and they had kind of navigated in between a couple of islands. They were going to float down. So they navigated between a couple of the islands and were crossing over. And of course they navigated between the wrong islands. That's basically what they did. So, you know, like you said, about a month before this, I found the water level had dropped so much that all the fish that were spread out in all these great spots where it was 2 feet of water behind a boulder and it was slack. And like all those things were like 6 inches or they were above the water line. So all those fish like at some point came out. There were still two or three places in the Slay Nation I caught a 20 inch mouth closed 20 incher kicker in an eddy, and so there were a few fish still kind of around in other places. But one of my practice days I was kind of floating back down towards where I was getting out at. And I was on the backside of an island right at dusk. And I just, all of a sudden, just, it was like, they weren't crazy going crazy, but they were just, you know, coming up, like a whole bunch of fish would come up to the surface and grab, like just slurp and bait at the surface. And then I anchored down and I ended up catching about 15 smallmouth, and almost every single one of them was over 18.
Jesus Christ.
And I was like, I was like, geez. So of course I win the KBF monthly, you know, because I put up like freaking almost 100 inches of smallmouth on the board. And then when we had the Slay tournament, I went out and I checked. That was the first place I fished, was the backside of that island. But water level had dropped a little bit and they weren't really stacked right there. So I started moving up islands, and I got about two islands up and threw my plopper and, you know, like an 18 incher smashed it. So I went up there, I anchored down, and then I just started fishing it. And that was the same spot I went back to for this tournament. I just went up to that spot, and then, you know, for 10 minutes before lines in, the fish were jumping out of the water everywhere and slurping. And I was kind of worried that they may have moved up a little bit, but I think those ended up being, you know, carp and some other fish that were really in some pike that were chasing up, because I didn't end up catching any fish up where a lot of that activity was. But once I anchored down, I pretty much did all my damage on a wacky rig.
What's your wacky rig bait there?
Can't hate the wacky.
A wacky, just because lightweight wacky rig with a weighted hook, you know, just light. I'm personal to the Young Dinger. I'm a Young Dinger guy. I've always been. And a lot of times, for years, I've thrown on even like the 4-inchers on, you know, like Texas rig, weightless Texas rig. And I still sometimes, you know, I like to do that, especially with a casting rod. You throw it on a throw it on the hook, and that just seems to do that 4-incher especially. It does good in Texas. It does good in, you know, Minnesota. But this year I really got to where I'm fishing that spinning rod a lot more, because I think it helps me, especially with the way that I hook fish and retrieve, that rod gives a little bit. So I don't lose as many fish. I basically cast it kind of as far as I could into a channel and let it drift down. Sometimes it have to drift and drift a little ways, and then they'd snatch it. It was definitely not as heavy as it was the week before, or, you know, the month before. Like, people had gone through there, you could tell, and caught a few more of the aggressive fish. Because I only caught, I think, one on a topwater. So, but everything else was wacky. And when they would pull the worm, if they pull the worm off the hook, then I would follow up with something like a creature bait. I also like big bite baits. I throw a lot of big bite bait stuff. And, you know, sometimes
I like that BFE,
but I tell you what I love to do. I love to pull baits out of the Walmart and the Dick's bargain bin, those cheap bargain bins. Like when you get the big bite baits or the Yums that are the rejects, the weird colors, like they let the color run. Like it's supposed to be a laminate, yeah. You know, like the crawls that are supposed to be like gray and orange, and then, but it's like almost all gray and a little bit of orange. Like I love those things. Green, like you'll get those ones that are just like, they don't look right, but man, those things, I love fishing with those things. Cause one, they're cheap, and two, like they seem to look more natural because they're irregulars, right?
Baits sell those like that.
Yeah.
Like,
so does a
run stuff. Yeah.
I was about to shout out.
I've never used them.
Tennessee. He's a California Tennessee transplant guy. Inland Baits up there in Nashville. He does runs where when he takes all of his leftovers, he just blends them all together and then heats them up and then pours baits, and you'll never see that color again. Like, cause he has no clue how to make it again. And All his guys, I've got some right now that are doing phenomenal, and all the guys I talk to tell me like, no, that's the color that usually just, and his product slays, is this just reject blender combo that comes out like gray with purple smears and like 4 pink flakes, like, and it just whacks on them. Like,
I found these Yo Mamas, I think, that were like green and like a, you know, like an aqua turquoise color, you know, swirl. And I haven't really seen that color in the regular baits. And I don't know what it was, but, and I've tried to throw it around, but that's the color that's the color, like yum, the two yum colors that that I love to throw, the brim color and the Bama bug. You know, the brim color's got that lighter kind of a turquoisey blue with the green in it, and then yeah. The Bama bug's the darker green with that dark blue with a little bit of a purplish tone. So I like throwing those two because the contrast, if you could throw them in, unless I'm in the clearest water. Like I have another color that I throw in super, super clear water. But if it's not, like if you can't see 20 feet in the water, like I'm throwing probably one of those two, because if they're on green, they'll bite it. If they're on the blue, they'll bite it. If they're like the swirl, if they like the mix, if they like the purplish tint, they like the, like it's kind of those two have it all. And yeah, they were just on it. And I found those, like started in the summer, they just, the smallmouth, I fish that on the backside of rocks and eddies. I'll let it float down in eddies. I did catch an 18 over in my eddy. My kicker wasn't there. My 20 kicker wasn't there in that other spot. Somebody probably hooked it in practice the day or two before. but I did catch an 18 on a drop shot over there. And then I missed one fish. I got it almost all the way back to the boat. And if I miss them, I don't worry too much about it, because I'll usually swing back, 20, 30 minutes later, and I usually catch them anyway. So that's what happened. I lost one that was, and that was the 1875 that kicked. That was my only like real cull. I had two 18s that I took pictures of and had them sitting in the back end just in case. But I caught an 18, and then I ended up losing that 1875, came back about 30 minutes later and caught it again. I didn't know if it was the spot was going to reload. So I'd move around the islands and fish a little bit. And then when I'd see a wave of guys coming down from the river, I'd pedal back over to my spot and I'd anchor down. And then I just kind of throw some stuff around a little bit. And
that's a crazy thing too. You call all your fish by 9 a.m., you know, like, and then you called probably around noon. And, you know, if you didn't get that call, and my day went the same, you know,
when the spot really died, I caught some small fish around that, later in the day, some smaller fish here and there. But that was the only time I was worried. About 1 o'clock was the only time I started getting worried that I should have floated. Because I was like, yeah, the fish really aren't here.
That's the river.
And I stuck in the middle, and all these guys have come down and kind of fished around the outside. So I know there's not a ton of fish, good quality fish on the outside. I got good first crack at my eddy spot, but I was a little worried.
All right,
but not worried enough to float down there and then either have to hitchhike back to my truck or and I had another buddy. And so that was the crazy part. You know, the day before the tournament at Friday, it was rainy and windy on the river, and I went and pre-fished another spot in the upper run for my buddy, because he was coming from Illinois and he hadn't had a chance. And I put in, and in 30 minutes, I caught 93 inches in 30 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
And then I was like, okay, well, this was all in like a 30 yard stretch. And I was like, I'm going to stop catching fish, because if he floats this, if he does choose to float this, I don't want those fish to be all gone. He ended up not, I don't know. He thinks that somebody else got a first crack at them in those areas, or they've kind of moved back off. But there's another. I every time when I've done this tournament before, I used to always fish the upper section. So,
I heard the north side is always good too.
I think that there's more fish and better opportunities. More current seams and more laydowns and more places to throw at in the upper section.
Yep,
it's a little bit longer float. And there's way more islands, but the lower section's got a lot of depth. There's fewer places to throw at, but sometimes that's better. That means that when there's a spot,
they like bunch up.
There's a tree and there's a hole behind it. And a lot of guys don't even realize this. You know, they'll be floating down the river and they'll throw and they'll catch an 18 inch smallmouth, you know, by a tree, by a lay down, and they'll just keep floating. And it's like,
dude, you can't do that with smallmouth, man.
especially in some of those sections where there's not a lot of stuff for them to be on, you got to stop, go over there, you know, anchor down, power pull down, or sit behind in the eddy and just kind of slow pedal and keep yourself right there and, you know, work that thing. I know in practice when I floated the lower section, sometimes like, you know, you get behind one of those things and I'd throw a beaver, I drag a beaver and catch a fish, and I throw a crankbait and catch a fish, and I throw a plopper and catch a fish, and you know, you throw the, you know, like you just kind of throw some of everything around in those areas, and you'll end up catching a few of them.
Oh, yeah.
There's times my buddy told me this, and I didn't. There are times I sat on a tree earlier this year in the Mississippi, in the upper Mississippi. I came up behind it, went up to it, and basically anchored onto a big tree lay down and jigged a 20-inch smallmouth out of it.
Hmm. Yeah,
my buddy says that there's times in the summer they get like that, and they don't spook all that bad, but you can go right up onto these big, huge lay downs and basically jig 20-inch smallmouth out of these trees.
Taking my vacation there next year, dude. I got to experience this for myself.
Yeah, definitely come down, fall transition. But that could happen within the three weeks between August and September. So
I'm just going to take that whole month off.
Right.
I'm just going to spend a month during the fall.
It gets better too. You know, it gets better as it gets colder. And that's the crazy thing.
Wow.
All right, Shenang, we don't want to hold y'all up anymore. We already kept y'all too long. Wait, Shenang, anybody want to shout out? Any sponsors? Anybody makes fishing easier for you?
No sponsors, but just people. You know, I wouldn't be fishing if it wasn't for my brother Pang. My cousin Kevin, he's always down to go out with me. And then just Elvis, he's always been someone I can always ask questions with. He's a good, great angler as well. Did really good in the Minyak series, that just finished up this last weekend too. And then Danny, Fook, Jester, and then also with this stretch, you know, Sonny helped me as well. So, and then can't forget my girlfriend, Daniela. She always lets me go out whenever I need to. You know, this is my stress reliever. This is my me time, you know, she knows I spend out, you know, from 6 to 2 or 3, but you know, it's definitely worth it. So, you know, I appreciate her so much.
Hey, real quick, was your cousin Kevin, he fished this event?
Yeah, he got four too.
Yeah, it's gonna shout him out. Congrats on that. He was right up there too, 74 and a half, so not too far out of the hunt.
Right. And the crazy thing too, we were fishing, we were near each other most of the time, and we were, you know, and that's the crazy part. He was ahead, he would catch a fish, and then I was ahead, I would catch a fish, measure, he would go past me, catch another fish. You know, it was just back to back, and we went
banging
the whole
out, man.
Yeah, 14 mile stretch, 15 mile stretch, and you know, we placed top five, so
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Scott, what about you, Scott?
I don't really
do too much of the sponsor thing, you know. Obviously, you know, my Vignette guys, you know, we're growing, we're trying to get you know, that off the ground. And we get a lot of support this year, averaging about 30 anglers. Second year, 30 anglers a tournament. That is pretty good.
Yeah.
Shout out, keep pushing those guys, man. We got some new guys in there, but everybody's helping and they're learning, and everybody's willing to kind of teach. And you know, I mean, there's always some guys that are kind of like, you know, is it, you know, tight lipped, but for the most part, it's a really good group of guys. And you know, they're all real helpful. So those are always helpful. Like I said, you know, don't really do a whole lot. There are a couple of our sponsors that are always really, I mean, Omnia is so good here in Minnesota because I can order it and they ship it the next day and I get it the following day. So like, you know, like you don't have to pay for one day, you know, overnight shipping, but you effectively get overnight shipping because we're in Minnesota. So yeah, if they got it in stock, you're going to get it quick. Those guys are always good.
And I'm down here in Alabama. I've got stuff from them quick too. They do a good job.
Yeah, and we got a little old mom and pop place down near Shreveport. They just moved to Blanchard called Funk Buster, and they support Minnesota so well. Like
they do.
It's crazy.
I've known Funk Buster since they started.
Yeah, Paul and Brenda are great. You know, they're great people. You know, I've been to the house and talked to them and chatted with them. They're great. They're great, great people. And you know, they'll make anything you want. If you call them and say, hey, here's what I want, they'll pretty much make it any way you want it. So those guys
fantastic
are always
fantastic customer
really
service too, man. Yeah. I got some of their first underspins and I messaged the guy back and just let him know that like one of them came loose. He shipped me an entire replacement order of them and I haven't had a single problem out of any of them.
Yeah they're great.
Those guys are good. And then of course, you know, my wife is very supportive of my fishing, you know. My dad, my parents too. My dad is living vicariously through me, because he doesn't really get out to fish much anymore. So, with his health, but, you know, he texts me. It's like every weekend. Are you fishing? Are you in a tournament? How you doing?
That's awesome.
So it's not bad. I mean, and you know, so, and I'm traveling. I'm leaving here. Got to go through Chicago to pick up my Torquedo that get repaired, and gonna hang out with my buddy and fish a day there, and then I'm gonna head down and I might stop in the Kentucky Lake, do a practice day, and then go into Pickwick. And I got a date with my PV Smalley that I lost last time I was down there.
You best hope it gets fishing better than it was last weekend.
Dude, it can't be worse than it was when we were there last time.
I caught a 7-pounder last year there.
900. The flow was like 9,000. Like if somebody flushed the toilet, it would have doubled the flow in the river. Yeah. I mean, it was so they turned the water off.
So they're already at winter pool, and water is getting shut off by 10 a.m. right now. We had big rain on Saturday.
Maybe with the hurricane, it'll help a little.
And the days are still 80 degrees. So if it's sunny, like I think it's supposed to be fairly sunny. So if it's sunny and 80 degrees, people are going to have their ACs on. They'll need some electricity. Now, not as bad as it's going to be at 90, 95 degrees. But
yeah, I fish it a lot. I'm just going to say that everybody better hope that it gets some rain. It's going to be tough. What?
I fish good in the fall. I did good in chick in the fall. I'm a fall fisher. I fish good in the fall. Like all my all Americans did placements were all good in the fall. If fishing's tough in the fall, I'm going to do well.
we'll be looking forward to seeing.
It's my last shot for trying to get to the classic, right?
Yeah.
It's my last opportunity, and I really want to fish. Although they haven't announced it, you know, you have a general idea where it's going to be, right?
Well, they announced it last night. It would be on check. Yeah. They announced on KBN. Yeah.
It's going to be on check.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's not bad. See, I said it's a toss up. I said it's either going to be on Watts Bar or they're going to go down one more and they'll go to chick. I was like, you know, because the pros are going to be in Dayton. So.
Right.
They're up there and they're always putting you close. I was like, the only other place they could have put us was up on Cherokee or whatever. So
they should put y'all on Nickajack.
So, never Nickajack.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we appreciate y'all being on. Sorry to keep you on so long, and good luck the rest of the year.
Thanks,
Scott. Good luck at Pickwick, man.
I
appreciate being on. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Y'all. Hope to have y'all take on soon easy. Again.
All right.
Later.
All right. I can't wait to get up there. I gotta go check that one out.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna get into the tourney recap for the rest of the country for last weekend. So we'll get right into it. The Kayak Anglers of Eastern Pennsylvania were on the north branch of the Susky. They had 28 anglers, 5 fish limit. First place, Jordan Welliver with 87 inches. Second place, Josh Sims with 85.5, and third place, Brooke Williams with 80.5. Next up, the Kayak Anglers of Laurel Highlands, Keystone Power Dam, 30 anglers. First place, Abby Abendoza with 81.25. Second place, Colton Hutchinson with 72.25. And third place, Adam Milstead with 72 and a quarter. And that was a five fish tournament, so that was a tough one. Next up is the Buckeye Kayak Fishing Trail on East West Harbor. This is always a East West Harbor always ends up being a good event. 62 anglers, five fish limit. Aaron Stahlbaum with 91 and a quarter. Second place, Nicholas Staler with 87 and a half. Third place, Sean Skidmore with 86. Next up, West Virginia Kayak Anglers 2-day championship at Jackson County. 2-day tournament, 33 anglers, five fish per day total. First place, Mr. Jody Queen. Bet he was throwing a jackhammer, 158 and a half inches. Second place, Greg Kupfner with 152 and a half. Third place, Buddy Vance with 147 and a half. Next up was the Clarksville Area Kayak Fishing Group in Paris, Tennessee. They were fishing Lake Barkley, Kentucky Lake, co-hosted with the West Tennessee Bass Shackers, 37 anglers. First place, Elijah Slicker with 90 and a half. Second place, James Miner with 85 and a quarter. And third place, Anthony Winkleman with 80 inches. Next up was the Oklahoma Kayak State Championship on Lake Tenkiller. It's top 60 anglers across the state. Two-day tournament, 58 anglers. First place, Zachary Warren with 157 and three quarters. Second place, Ryan Hendricks with 156 and three quarter. And third place, Tove with 155 and three quarter. Next up's the Grassroots Bass Yakking Championship on Patoka Lake. Two-day tournament Patoka. There. 94 anglers. First place, Brian Sparks with 159 and a quarter. Second place, Tyler Atwell with 152 and three quarters. Third place, Wyatt Guard with 142 and a half. Next up was the Southeast Texas Kayak Bass League on Lake Fork, like one of my favorite lakes. 55 anglers, two-day tournament here as well. First place, Jacob Moeller with 183 and a quarter. Second place, Joe Lanzilotti with 180 and a quarter. And third place, Stephen Fisher with 176 and a quarter. Next up is the California Bass Nation Kayak Trail Series Championship on Clear Lake, two-day tournament for 50 anglers. First place, Joshua Bryant with 182 and three-quarters. Second place, Alexander Ramirez with 175 and three-quarters. And third place, said it earlier, Damian Tao with 175 and a half. My man's cashing checks. All right, two more. Next up was the Wild West Bass Trail Kayak Tournament of Champions, also on Clear Lake, two-day tournament, 45 anglers. First place, Damian Tao, 175 and a half. Second place, Garrett Clark with 172 and a quarter. Third place, Calvin Vang with 169. Last but not least, the Washington Kayak Bass Fishing Tour on Alder Lake, 29 anglers. First place, Kevin Frank with 81 inches. Second place, Jim Davis with 78 and a half. And third place, Chase Odine with 60 and a half. And that is it, folks. Another great show. I love talking river smallies. We usually get to leave the smallmouth talk to the final cast guys, but we got to jump into one, and I didn't even know Depths made spinnerbaits. So
I didn't either.
They look badass, even all the other colors. Like that white chartreuse one's got my name wrote all over it. I might take a loan out to buy a few of these, but
how much are they?
$25 a piece.
That's high.
I'll throw them around here because nothing's gonna bite it off. I'd never throw these up there with all that pike. Like, my man's making some money.
Here, I'll give you a shout out on one. The Crusher Lures, it's the Cliff Crochet, the Petite. Dude, that thing, that wire on that thing is so thin. It's the vibration's crazy. But I mean, a big fish will absolutely wreck it. I bought one and they're like $10. And then the first out of catfish. Kill it on the first bite, and it was just mangled and gone. But it's, dude, that spinnerbait's ridiculous. So,
they're made
in Alabama, which is cool.
So. Yeah, I knew the Crusher was. I didn't know anything about the spinnerbait though. I was saying it this weekend that I needed to get back into throwing spinnerbaits because, like, I'll throw some of the accent spinnerbaits, the big ones, like 1 ounce, but I don't do it much. And then I always hear about guys, you know, like burning spinner baits in the current for smallies, and I've never done it. So
it's a right time of the year.
Yeah, I definitely am going to check it out.
All right, everybody, y'all be good. We appreciate you listening. If you're going out on the water, wear your PFDs and take care.
All peace.
Right. Later.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.
I'm just going to throw this out there. If you have